Hi, everyone. Welcome back for part three of our series on healing your relationship with food. Today, we're talking about embracing self-compassion. In today's world, we are constantly bombarded with dietary advice, with food trends, and with ideas of what is right or wrong to eat. And it's really easy to fall into a trap of self-criticism and guilt when it comes to food. We can forget that our relationship with food goes way beyond actually eating a meal. It's super entwined with our emotions and with our self-perception. If we can cultivate some self-compassion, that's the key to breaking free from guilt or shame that is often associated with food choices. In this episode, we're going to explore the importance of self-compassion in our dietary journey and discover how it can help us to lead healthier, more balanced lives. Hey there, and welcome to Be Well with Steph, the podcast. This is the show for you if you believe that personal wellness can be an actively pursued goal, and you're ready to tackle building healthier daily habits with a little bit of good humor, a little bit of grace, and a little bit of coffee. I'm Steph, I'm your wellness and nutrition coach and your host, and I want to make it really clear. You're not expected to be or live perfectly here. Lord knows I don't. After battling diet culture and then learning to navigate the world of wellness culture myself, I know a few things are true. One, it doesn't have to be complicated to be effective. Two, you are capable of creating a lifestyle you love. And three, you have everything you need to start doing that today inside your own beautiful self. On this show, we'll talk about nourishing yourself, moving your body, getting a good night's sleep, caring for your mental health, being in community, and maintaining day-to-day practices that make you feel good. I'm here to help empower you to create and maintain a lifestyle of wellness that gives you the strength, energy, and confidence to go after your wildest dreams. I like to define guilt and shame separately. They are separate things. And I've have done a lot of reading by Brené Brown and her work on shame specifically. But guilt, we can think about as the feeling that comes when we've made a choice that we feel like is wrong. So when we do something, we can say, oh, I feel guilty for that choice that I made. Shame puts that bad feeling on ourselves. Instead of saying, I made a poor choice, it's saying, I am bad because of my choices. Instead of saying, I made a choice that, you know, didn't support my health, we put that on ourselves and say, I'm dumb, or I'm, you know, can never change. So shame feelings are so, so unhealthy and so, so common. We feel this stuff all the time, but that the self-talk that comes along with shame is not serving us when it comes to improving our health. There is a place for guilt. There is a place for acknowledging when we make a choice that we don't feel good about and that we need to learn from. That's different than saying that we are a negative pattern or a negative belief. And guilt and shame both often get associated with our food choices, coming from an unrealistic expectation coming from societal pressure, coming from us falling into our cravings traps or our poor habits traps. But there are always these messages that certain food are bad, or that if we move away from the diet or move away from the goal, we've fallen off the wagon. We talk a lot in diet culture about like overcoming cravings. And that's something that I talk about myself. But these ideals, these feelings of guilt and shame from not being able to uphold these ideals have the possibility of perpetuating into a really harmful cycle. It can sometimes feel like we have this invisible weight pressing down on us when it comes to guilt or shame. And these emotions, although they're separate, guilt and shame, can often intertwine. And it becomes this cycle that can be really challenging to break. You're not alone in this. This happens to all of us. I think I think that it happens to women more than it happens to men, but it happens to all of us that we can feel guilty for something, for a choice that we've made, and that that behavior or that choice starts to infiltrate our thoughts, create emotions that lead to us feeling lousy about ourselves as people. And we got to get out of that cycle. So let me quickly break down for you what this cycle, this like guilt and shame cycle, can look like in those four parts. The first part is behavior. So usually we've done something, an action that we believe is a mistake or we believe was wrong. It could be minor, it could be major. It could just be saying like, oh shoot, I wish I hadn't eaten that, you know, extra portion at dinner because now I feel super full. I'm not happy with that choice. Or it could be really huge, like I haven't been taking care of the way that I've been eating for weeks. We've been ordering out for weeks and I haven't cooked, and that's becoming a pattern. You know, it can be bigger. And these obviously are just food examples. But this cycle begins with some sort of behavior or choice that we believe is a mistake. That behavior impacts our thoughts, and that's our guilt. Guilt usually starts innocently enough. It comes from feeling like you did something wrong, or you fell short of your expectations or of someone else's expectations. So it's that little inner voice, that inner dialogue that says, you should have done better, or you know you didn't need to do that. And guilt can be okay. It can serve as a moral compass. It can serve as a way to help us from repeating mistakes and guide us to more responsible actions or guide us towards choices that make us feel better. But when that guilt lingers, or the feelings and thoughts or negative self-talk intensify, that's when it can start to be destructive. Because our negative thoughts, that's like the third part of the cycle, our negative thoughts lead to our emotions and starting to feel more deeply. It could be that we're just feeling a stronger guilt around the action we've taken, or it could be deeper than that. And it could be that these negative actions or these behaviors that we're not happy about are making us feel flawed as a person. That's where shame comes in. When the emotion becomes overwhelming or becomes distressing, because then we're starting to think, I'm not capable. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. And there are consequences when this cycle starts to gain momentum. Our choice triggers our guilt. Our behavior triggers our guilt. Our guilt creates thoughts in our head about what we shouldn't have done or wish we hadn't done. Those thoughts can compound into our emotions and our feelings of shame. And those trigger consequences. They trigger us blaming ourselves, criticizing ourselves. That's where people start to fall into the trap of, well, I already broke my diet today. I guess I can't stick with this. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. And we start to have those cycles of then we ate whatever we want. We go back to the beginning and we say, I made a choice I'm not happy with. I wish I hadn't done that in my head. I guess I'm not capable of dieting. I'll eat whatever I want. And it cycles back around and cycles back around, and we have to break through this cycle with self-compassion. It doesn't have to be this way, okay? With bravery, with warmth, with self-compassion and self-love, we can navigate these emotions that can be really complex. They might start out really simply by saying like, man, I wish I hadn't eaten that bagel, and it can slide so far. And it's up to us to intercept these thoughts with love and compassion in order to break out of the cycle and start to embrace a future that is more compassionate toward ourselves. And that's where wellness comes from. Self-compassion is actually a concept that was popularized by a psychologist named Dr. Kristen Neff. And self-compassion involves treating ourselves with the same kindness, understanding, and support that we would offer to a close friend who is going through something difficult. Self-compassion has three main parts. They're self-kindness, common humanity, and mindfulness. Once again, you noticing a theme here? So self-kindness is just the idea of extending warmth and gentleness to ourselves, especially when we make a mistake. And we start to notice that feeling of guilt of I haven't done that, or I shouldn't have done that, or I wish I hadn't done that. So instead of harshly criticizing ourselves, we can start to give ourselves some self-encouragement and some understanding. When you make a food choice that doesn't align with your goals, instead of immediately criticizing yourself, you've got to offer yourself a more kind and supportive self-talk the same way you would if you were talking to a friend. The second part of self-compassion is acknowledging our common humanity, recognizing that we are not alone in our struggles. You are not the only person who made a food choice that didn't align with your health goal today. It's perfectly normal. It happens all the time. We have to understand that we as human beings are navigating this journey together. And it can help us to know that we're not alone. We're not inadequate. We're not in isolation. You have to remind yourself that everyone has moments of weakness and everyone makes food choices that feel less than ideal to them. Perfection is not the goal. I have been saying here for years, what matters most is what you do the most. And then, of course, mindfulness. Mindfulness of being present in the moment that you're in without judging it, just noticing it. When it comes to food, that might mean being aware of the choices you make, seeing what they are, enjoying the experience of eating, letting yourself taste what you're eating, feeling grateful for what you're eating, and letting go of the guilt or anxiety surrounding your decision. Once you've made that choice, we've got to let that choice go. And the more mindful you become with eating, the easier that becomes because you start to be more intentional about what you're eating. So then I know that I crossed this bridge just last week. I usually make oatmeal for breakfast. I do overnight oats. I put some protein powder and some berries in. All that protein and fiber keeps me full all morning till lunch. And then we bought bagels. And I made the conscious, intentional choice to take a bagel and peanut butter for breakfast instead. I enjoyed it. It tastes great. I didn't feel guilty about my choice at all. But I did notice that I was hungry before lunch came. I had to be aware of the fact that my body, my intuition, that's where intuitive eating comes from, my intuition was telling me that you enjoyed that, but it didn't do the job it needed to do in nourishing you for your morning. So you might want to make a different choice next time. And that's my internal dialogue, right? My internal dialogue is not saying, oh, you couldn't even eat oatmeal every day this week. My internal dialogue is saying, okay, you tried something. It tastes good. It's not going to really help you with your goals. It's not going to give you the satisfaction that you need. You're going to have to go back to what you were doing or try something new. We can practice mindful eating by paying attention to our food choices, savoring the flavors, eating without distraction, and then thinking about how those choices responded in our bodies. Helps us make more conscious and satisfying choices. Embracing self-compassion while we're on this wellness journey can be really hard. I know that changing the way you talk to yourself is not something that happens overnight. It's something that does take practice. So let me offer you here four ideas for starting to become a little bit kinder to yourself. The first one is letting yourself be vulnerable. Vulnerability is a superpower on this wellness journey because it takes a lot of courage to share that something is hard, to share your struggles with someone you trust, a friend, a family member, a partner, a therapist. But when you're able to open up about what you feel guilty about, what you feel shame around, the story that you're telling yourself in your head, when you're able to open up about what's going on in there, you allow the light to shine a little bit better on those dark emotions. They don't seem as dark. They don't seem as heavy. You realize again that we have this common humanity and that you're not alone. So please remember that being vulnerable is not a weakness and you are doing nothing wrong by feeling guilt or shame that everybody feels sometimes, but opening up about it and shedding some light on it is going to be a path toward letting go of those ideas and healing those feelings. Remember community. Connect with your community. We've done episodes on here about supportive communities, about finding friends, finding workout communities, finding online communities, finding a therapist who can help you navigate your relationship with food and practice some self-compassion. Because just as you speak differently about your friends or loved ones, they speak differently to you as well. And you need to surround yourself with a community that is not only going to share your struggles, but also empower you to know that you're doing the thing. You're doing a good job, that they love you for who you are, where you are on the journey, and that they're with you as you're trying to make these changes towards self-improvement. You need to remember to celebrate your wins, whether they are small achievements or some milestone you've been working toward. Notice them. Be warm toward yourself. Appreciate the progress that you've made. Every little step counts. If you said you were going to go for a walk and you did go for a walk, notice that you did that. If you said you were going to cook instead of order out and you did, notice that you did that. Acknowledging your efforts is a crucial act of self-kindness. And if this is something that you struggle with ongoing and you're working on making it a really more intentional part of your day, think about affirmations. Affirmations are like secret little allies to self-compassion. You can create positive affirmations like, I am worthy of nourishment. I am doing the best I can. I am strong enough for whatever comes my way today. I am resilient when things are hard. My small steps matter. The things I do add up. If you can find phrases like this that resound in you, phrases like this that feel like they offer yourself kindness, we need to find them, post them, repeat them, hang them on the wall, write them down in the journal, put the post-it note on the mirror. We need to do things to offer ourselves the words for that positive self-talk, to offer ourselves the kind words. Because if they're not coming naturally to you yet, you need to surround yourself with them in your environment through your community members and through your affirmations so that it starts to become more normalized for you, more natural and more second nature. Big fan of affirmations. I do them and read them and write them every morning. On this journey to heal your relationship with food, please remember that self-love is your most treasured companion. This journey is not about perfection. It's about progress. It's about growth and understanding and learning to embrace and accept your beautifully imperfect self. You need to celebrate your steps. You need to work on silencing that inner critic and replacing her with a welcoming voice, one that is kind, one that is compassionate. And seek support when you need it. Unplug, unfollow people that you're comparing yourself to, and instead replace that with things that lift you up, with a positive community, with practices of gratitude and affirmations that support your daily worth. Your path to a healthier relationship with food takes bravery, it takes warmth, and it takes the openness and vulnerability to grow. You're not alone on this journey. We're here together. We're doing it with you. We're supporting you and cheering you on. If you need someone in your corner, come over and send me a message. Just say, hi, I'm working on this stuff and I need you in my corner and I am here for you. That's what I do. It's what I do as a coach, but it's also just what I do as a cheerleader and a friend. Like, I am here for you. I hope that you have enjoyed this third and final part to our Healing Your Relationship with Food series. I hope if you're just finding this that you go back and listen to parts 1 and 2. And I would love to hear from you as always on Instagram, via email, bewellwithsteph.com/podcast, all the places. And if you are on your nutrition journey, if you have decided that you would like to heal your relationship with food while improving your nutrition, if you'd like to eat from a place of self-love and a place of nourishment, I have an offer for you. My program, Eat Well with Steph, is a vibrant online wellness community that is all about elevating your health, elevating your happiness, and your self-love through your nutrition. It is part online course, part online community. There are videos and training modules that you can watch that walk you exactly through my process for finding food freedom, for developing goals that work for your health, for your lifestyle, turning those goals into daily habits and routine, and eating balanced meals that nourish you and help support your overall health. It's all in there in Eat Well with Steph, and I would be glad to talk to you more about this program. If you're interested in it, you can again send me a DM, or you can get all the details at bewellwithsteph.com/eatwell. Thank you so much for listening to Be Well with Steph, the podcast. When there are a million things that you could be doing, I appreciate your choosing to hang out here. And I am proud of you for continuing to work on your own wellness journey. I invite you to head over to bewellwithsteph.com for the details from this episode, my blog, upcoming events, and lots of other resources. If you enjoyed today's show, I'd love to hear from you. I'm Be Well With Steph everywhere you like to hang out on social media. So come on over and say hi. Until next time, my friends, be well.